On September 8th, 2022, something shifted in Britain that went far beyond the loss of a beloved queen. For 70 years, Elizabeth II had been the nation's anchor study, unshakable, a constant in a world of chaos. Her death didn't just mark the end of a reign, it exposed the fragility of an institution that had hidden its cracks behind her dignified presence. What happens when the curtain finally pulls back on the world's most famous family? The revelations are more troubling than anyone imagined. From bags of cash handed to a future king, to racist incidents swept under palace carpets, to brothers who can barely speak to each other, the monarchy's transition from Elizabeth to Charles has become a masterclass in institutional dysfunction. This isn't just royal gossip. It's a window into how power, privilege, and tradition collide with modern expectations of accountability and transparency. Elizabeth II spent her final years orchestrating succession while her health declined after Philip's 2021 death. Her small team, Paul Wybrew, Ari Mitford, Angela Kelly, managed limited public appearances while she continued reviewing government papers at Balmoral with corgis Sandy and Muick. Her 2021 appointment of Andrew Parker, former MI5 chief, as Lord Chamberlain revealed strategic thinking. She privately called him my new CEO of the firm, choosing someone to modernize the institution. Parker streamlined working royals and managed fallout from Andrew's scandals and Harry's departure. By May 2022, the transition became public when Charles delivered the Queen's speech at Parliament, sitting on the consort's chair with the imperial state crown displayed beside him, preparing the public for change while preserving her authority. When she died September 8th, with Anne and Charles at her bedside, she'd fulfilled her final duty 2 days earlier by appointing Liz Truss as Prime Minister. Her funeral, watched by 4.1 billion people worldwide, was a masterclass in royal pageantry, precision, dignity, and personal touches offering rare glimpses into her guarded personality. When she died September 8th, with Anne and Charles at her bedside, she'd fulfilled her final duty 2 days earlier by appointing Liz Truss as Prime Minister. Her funeral, watched by 4.1 billion people worldwide, was a masterclass in royal pageantry, precision, dignity, and personal touches offering rare glimpses into her guarded personality. Charles III began his reign with a tantrum over a leaky pen. Days after his mother's death, cameras caught him snapping about this bloody thing. The Pengate incident revealed a temperament starkly different from Elizabeth's legendary composure. His controversies run deeper. The Times revealed he'd accepted millions in cash from Sheikh Hamad bin Jassim and Osama bin Laden's half-brothers, despite advisors' warnings. His aide, Michael Fawcett, survived multiple scandals until a cash for honors affair forced his 2021 resignation. Well-intentioned projects often collapsed. His Knockroon development delivered just 31 homes over a decade instead of 770. Despite royal protocol forbidding political commentary, his Black Spider memos revealed decades of lobbying on environmental causes and NHS homeopathic treatments. His extravagant lifestyle, perfectly steamed linens, iron shoelaces, staff squeezing exactly 1 inch of toothpaste, earned him the nickname Pampered Prince. William and Harry once walked behind their mother's coffin together. Now they can barely occupy the same room. The rift has evolved from private disagreement to public spectacle, with each brother representing opposing visions of modern royalty. William has fully embraced the institutional path. When the Lady Susan Hussey racism scandal erupted, he swiftly declared that racism has no place in our society, demonstrating his willingness to act independently. But sources reveal growing tension with Charles, too. His team briefed the press about doing things the Cambridge way, including having his father's staff count when becoming Prince of Wales, a move that reportedly infuriated Charles. While presenting a level-headed public image, former aides describe him as sharp and spiky when frustrated, with a fiery temper that can blow up at any time. Harry has chosen a different path entirely. His memoir, Spare, revealed decades of resentment and how family members, including Camilla, leaked personal details to protect themselves. When Harry reached out for reconciliation, Charles remained cold and brief. Though Harry attended Charles's coronation as the right thing to do, he's accepted that reconciliation is unlikely, telling a friend, "I'm ready to move on past it. Whether we get an apology or accountability, who knows? Who really cares at this point?" Prince Andrew poses the monarchy's most immediate threat, a disgraced royal whose ties to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein continue to damage the institution. His catastrophic 2019 Newsnight interview destroyed his credibility with absurd excuses, claiming he couldn't have been at a nightclub with Virginia Giuffre because he was at Pizza Express, and that a medical condition prevented him from sweating. Remarkably, Andrew initially thought the interview went well, revealing his complete disconnect from reality. In March 2001, 41-year-old Andrew met 17-year-old Virginia Roberts, recruited by Ghislaine Maxwell. The infamous photograph showing Andrew with his arm around young Giuffre has been authenticated by the FBI. When Giuffre filed a civil lawsuit in August 2021, Andrew settled for approximately $12 million, covered by the Queen. Though King Charles cut Andrew's $249,000 annual allowance in 2023, he continues providing private financial support and pays his seven-figure security bill, treatment Prince Harry notes he never received. With Giuffre's settlement gag order now expired, her major book deal threatens fresh scandal. The royal family's racist remarks span generations. Prince Philip made offensive comments about Chinese people, Nigerians, and Indigenous Australians. The Queen Mother told a lady-in-waiting that Africans just don't know how to govern themselves. Prince Charles nicknamed a South Asian friend Sudi. The pattern continued with Princess Michael of Kent telling black diners to go back to the colonies and Prince Andrew's casual slurs. In 1996, Prince Charles's valet allegedly called a black secretary a fucking nigger typist. A 1968 memo revealed the palace banned colored immigrants or foreigners from clerical roles, though they could work as servants. Current staff confirm the ignorance and casual racism is as bad as you think it is. The palace repeatedly missed opportunities for change, ignoring Black History Month until 2022, failing to condemn violent rhetoric against Meghan, and sending tone-deaf royal tours to Caribbean nations demanding reparations. When the Obamas visited William and Kate in 2016, a painting titled The Negro Page hung in their drawing room, hastily obscured by a plant. The royals continue displaying looted treasures, like the Kohinoor diamond, which Camilla wore at her coronation. Meghan faced racist press coverage from the start, with loaded terms like exotic DNA and straight out of Compton. When Harry condemned the racial undertones, Charles thought confronting the press was terrible. After the Sussexes' successful 2018 Australia tour, jealous courtiers permitted the press to bring them down a peg. Tabloids labeled her Duchess Difficult, Meghan, and Degree Wife, familiar racist stereotypes. When Meghan contemplated suicide in 2019, the institution refused help, concerned only about appearances. King Charles III and Prince William face mounting pressures, Britain's economic decline, Commonwealth nations seeking independence, generational apathy, and a growing Republican movement. Despite diversity claims, senior staff remain overwhelmingly white and privileged. The monarchy's economic contribution is minimal. Royal attractions generate just 0.3% of Britain's pre-COVID tourism revenue, with St. Paul's Cathedral consistently outperforming royal residences. Financial investigations expose troubling opacity. Charles's personal fortune totals $1.8 billion, including $533 million in jewelry, estates like Balmoral and Sandringham, luxury vehicles, and racehorses. He and the late Queen received approximately $1.2 billion from tax-exempt duchies, plus $86.3 million annually from the sovereign grant. A golden ratchet clause prevents this grant from decreasing. It's projected to rise 45% by 2025, while public workers fight for fair wages. Unlike Elizabeth II, whose never complain, never explain approach maintained support, Charles and William struggle to articulate the monarchy's purpose. The Ngozi Filani incident exposed their inability to adapt. Filani received no direct apology despite weeks of harassment. The monarchy appears to be running out of meaningful words. While Charles may sustain the institution, King William will need genuine change to secure its future. Perhaps the greatest act of service would be letting the people choose, even if that means watching the curtain fall.